For several weeks, the subject that I've had on my mind, I haven't spoken on the subject, but it's been on my mind and I've been led to study it, is the subject of giving. That's a subject this time of year that we think a lot about, except most of the time as we think about it, it is not, well, let's put it this way, it is, what are you getting for Christmas? And rarely does anyone ever ask, what are you giving? But I'd like to deal with today, not what are you getting, but what are you giving? What are you giving? The Bible has a lot to say about giving. As I began to look through the Scriptures and try to locate various Scriptures that address with giving, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think my notes, the last time I looked, were about 144 pages. So you can see, we won't try to preach on all of that today, so don't anybody panic yet. But the Bible teaches much about giving. And it teaches graceful giving. Graceful giving. Giving out of grace and giving out of gratefulness. Now, as we look through the New Testament, and you can check me out on this, you can read the entire New Testament through, and when it speaks of giving, you will not find any instruction on tithing. And we won't deal with tithing because tithing is clearly taught in the Old Testament. Also clearly taught in the Old Testament was a system of priesthood that prefigured or pointed to or that was a shadow of things to come. And the tithing, the tithes that were set up to support that priesthood under the old, in the Old Testament dispensation. Well, there's no longer a priesthood and there's no longer tithing. What you'll find with regard to giving in the New Testament is not a set formula for giving, not a requirement for giving, not a percentage for giving, yet you find the instruction to give, and it is graceful giving. And that's what we'd like to begin to look at today. And the Lord willing, we'll perhaps in the future move beyond giving as to why we give, and what we show, what we learn from giving, and what we express through our giving, and some various principles about giving, and about reaping and sowing and reaping, and what the Bible has to say about that. There's so much. And what we hear so often out in the world today is so contrary to what the Bible teaches. We find so often today that the gospel message is being watered down, being changed, being diluted. There's just one gospel, it says there in the book of Galatians, which is not another. There's but one gospel. But that that's being presented as the gospel is being turned around and turned upside down and distorted so that it becomes a false gospel, but one which has great appeal to the masses. There is but one gospel. And it's the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as taught in the Word of God. And Jesus Christ didn't go about changing what He taught so it would attract large numbers, so it would appeal to many. He just taught the truth. And that's what the church is to teach, is the truth. And the truth when taught, it just is not going to appeal to great masses of people. It doesn't catch their attention. And so, we want to teach regarding giving as we do with anything that we deal with in the Lord's service. That that's set forth in God's Word. I'd like to begin in the second book of Corinthians in the 8th chapter. Paul writing to the brethren here at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 8th chapter verse 1. Says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. You know, here they were liberal. They were liberal there in Macedonia. They were liberal, that means generous and simple in their giving. Paul here in writing to the Corinthian church says, brethren, I want you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. He said, I want you to know about their giving. You see, you'll find as Paul deals with this subject of giving, he never does it by command. He teaches it by example, and he teaches it as a privilege. So if you, at any stage of that, lest I be misunderstood, if you think I'm telling you you must do something when it comes to giving, that's not my goal at all, because that's not what the Bible teaches. Grace giving is not a requirement. Grace giving is not something that you do because you feel compelled and required and because it's expected of you. But true grace giving, as taught in the Word of God, is something you do because you want to do it, and you count it a privilege to do it, and you count it a blessing to be able to do it, and you do it out of gratitude to God for what He has done for you. That's the foundation of grace giving. Paul uses here the example of the Macedonian brethren. If you go back in the book of Romans in the 15th chapter, the 26th verse, we'll read something else about the Macedonians. Paul here was going to Jerusalem. And by the way, the background or the setting for these verses, the time is that Paul's with the brethren in Corinth. And at a great distance there were brothers and sisters in a church in Jerusalem. And there was a great famine in the land in Jerusalem at that time. And they were in great need. They were impoverished. They didn't have food. They didn't have clothing. They were in great need. And so as Paul traveled around, he acquainted others with the unmet needs of those at Jerusalem. Not only for Jerusalem, but you'll find he turned the thing around later on when those at Jerusalem had more than they needed. He acquainted them with the needs of others also. That's a principle you'll find in all of the instruction regarding giving here, and we'll get into much of this in more detail, but I want to give you the background of it. And that is, there's an equality here. And we'll read about it right here in this 8th chapter. We may not get there today. But what that means is, the equality is not that everybody have the same thing, that if I've got a dollar more than you, I need to give you 50 cents of it so we'll be equal in what we have. But there's a quality in giving in the sense that when you are in need and I have more than I need, I share with you. And when I'm in need and you have more than you need, you share with me. We help each other meet each other's necessities, an equality of caring and giving and sharing. That's the principle that this grace giving is based upon. And here in Romans 15:26, the Macedonians, you see, that's the example Paul, we read about here in 2 Corinthians 8. Paul wanted them to know about the churches of Macedonia. He sets them up. He said, I want to tell you about their example. Let me tell you what they did. And here in Romans chapter 15, verse 20, we read about their giving. It says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Do you notice the word he used there? He said it pleased them. He didn't say they met their duty. They met their obligation. They've done what I told them they had to do. But he just says it pleased them. Grateful giving is giving that will please you. It will please you. It will be something that you will find joy in doing. Grateful giving. There's a pleasure in. There's a joy in grateful giving. And so, these brethren at Macedonia, It had pleased them to give, contribute to Paul, so he could take it and minister unto those that were in need in Jerusalem. It pleased them. Now, lest we get the wrong idea about those folks at Macedonia, see, one of the beautiful things about their giving and about their contributing to the poor saints that didn't have enough, one of the beautiful things about that was the condition that the Macedonians themselves were in. And Paul tells us about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He talks about those brethren. I want you to know about the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Here were their conditions. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Notice some conditions that existed in Macedonia. He says, great trial of affliction. And he talks about their deep poverty. Stop and think about that for a minute. Here is the Macedonians that Paul is setting up as an example of giving. It wasn't like they were sitting over there and they said, man, our bank accounts are full and running over. I've got two coats and somebody doesn't have a coat at all. I'll give him one of mine. I've got three. I'll keep two and give one away. It wasn't like they had all that kind of abundance of material things. They were going through some great trials of affliction. And they were in deep poverty. And yet, they were so thankful for how God had blessed them that they were willing to share with what they had. Not willing, but it pleased them, as we read there in Romans 15, 20, it pleased them to share what they had with those that were in need. As a matter of fact, it not only pleased them, but the abundance that they had that Paul writes about here in 2 Corinthians 8, 2 is the abundance of their joy in their afflictions and in their deep poverty. They had an abundant joy. The abundant joy that they had was in the things that they knew about God, and we'll read a little bit about that further on, the truth that they knew, their understanding of the gospel of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even though they didn't have a whole lot, they had a whole lot to be thankful for. They recognized that while materially, those Macedonians recognized that while materially they didn't have a whole lot and they were in deep poverty, yet spiritually, they had a lot to be thankful for. And they had abundant joy as they thought about all that God had blessed them with. What God had done for them. They understood the spiritual blessings of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God. Paul declared the gospel unto them. And those who felt themselves to be unworthy sinners, deserving of nothing from God, in fact, deserving of God's wrath, if deserving of anything at all. Those who felt themselves unworthy, and but poor dust worms of the earth, and the least of all men, and the chief of sinners, as Paul described himself. Those that felt that way, who had known conviction for sin, whose hearts had been burdened with the burden of guilt regarding sin. They had heard the good news of the gospel of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent to earth to bear the sins of all of His people, and that He completed that work. And because of what Jesus had done, they all someday would be with Him in heaven. Or they may have deep poverty here on earth. They may have great afflictions here on earth. But our Lord said, in the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. They knew the gospel message that their afflictions and their tribulations and their difficulties here in life, someday all that would be over. And someday they would be with their Lord and Savior in that eternal home in heaven with all of God's children, where there would be no affliction and where there would be no poverty, where there would be nothing that causes pain or tears or disappointment or heartache. They looked forward to that day and they had abundant joy. But in their great trial of affliction and in their deep poverty, they bounded under the riches of their liberality. In other words, their knowledge of what God had done for them caused them to want to do something to serve God and do something for others. And it abounded. It bounded unto the riches of their liberality. They wanted to give to others. For to their power, Paul says, I bear them record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know, those folks in Macedonia, they could easily say, well, Paul, we're going to pray for those people over there in Jerusalem that are so destitute. But you see, we don't have a whole lot ourselves, Paul, and we may need it ourselves. They could have said that. They could have said, you know, we just don't feel, you know, we got enough for today and we can see maybe enough for tomorrow and a few days ahead, but we don't know how things are going to be a few years from now. We may need it for ourselves. Selfishness. But they didn't. They weren't selfish. You know, in the book of James, in the 4th chapter, it tells us that we ask and have not. Because we ask that we, what? May consume it upon our lusts. There's a principle there of asking and receiving. And when we ask for ourselves, that's selfishness. But when we ask that we may have to help others, that's graciousness. That's grace in action. And here, these Macedonians wanted to give. He says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power. You know, they had all the excuses they could have needed not to give, not to help. And Paul recognized that. He recognized their deep poverty. He recognized their afflictions. But you know what? They, out of the abundance of their joy, they were bound into the riches of their liberality. They wanted to give. And they implored Paul, they prayed to Paul, take this, please take it over there to those that are worse off than we are and help them and share it with them. Praying us. They asked Paul. They prayed Paul. With much entreaty. They were insistent upon it. Perhaps it was hard for Paul to take from them, knowing that they weren't a whole lot better off than those in Jerusalem, but they were better off. And they did have something that they could share. And it was hard for Paul to accept from them and Macedonia to take to others in Jerusalem, knowing that they weren't a whole lot better off than those in Jerusalem. But they entreated him. They didn't say, well, Paul, you're right. We may need this, and we're not much better off than they are, and we don't have all that we want. We don't have as much as we'd like to have. We'd love to help. We're going to keep it ourselves. No, they did right the opposite. Out of thankfulness to God, and out of the grace of God that was in their hearts, and the love of God that was in their hearts, they said, we want to help. Please, Paul, take this with you. Take it to the brethren there and that are hurting and give it to them. They entreated us with much entreaty, not just a little bit, with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Take this gift and use it to minister to the saints there in Jerusalem. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now here's the beginning of giving. You know, and it's funny, in the world and people, when we think worldly and think like the world, If we want to draw nearer to God, you let somebody that's made a bad mistake or having difficult times in their lives that have a lot of money, you know, the first thing they want to do to get right with God and to clear things up, they want to reach in their pocket and shell out a lot of money. That's where it begins. In the world's way of looking at things, in the world, in worldly teaching. But that's not where it begins in graceful giving. Graceful giving follows the giving, graceful giving of material things follows a giving first of yourself. That's what Paul says. This they did, but for, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. You know what they said? We're going to walk with the Lord. They gave themselves to the Lord. In the book of Romans, in the 12th chapter, we find something about this kind of giving of yourself first. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, there's giving more important than material giving. You begin by giving of yourself to the Lord. You give of yourself to the Lord when you walk in His ways and according to His precepts and His instruction. You give of yourself to the Lord when you care about His Word and what it teaches. You give of yourself to the Lord when you feel a need to bow down in prayer and ask for His mercy and forgiveness. And you give of yourself to the Lord when you give thanksgiving to Him for all the blessings He's bestowed upon you. We're to give ourselves to the Lord first, He says. And they gave themselves also, what did He say? Gave their own selves to the Lord and to us for the will of God. They gave according to the will of God. Now, the will of God, folks trying to find the Lord's will, I tell you, we've got the Lord's will. It's right here. He's revealed it to us in His Word. That's the will of the Lord. That's as much as we need to know about the Lord's will. The problem's not knowing what the Lord's will is. The problem with most of us is we're just not doing what the Lord's will is. We need to give ourselves to the Lord and to one another. Well, how do we give ourselves to one another? We serve one another. We care for one another. We pray for one another. We show love toward one another. Husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, sacrificially. Today's society teaches us to be selfish. And everything out there in the secular world is set up to appeal to the selfish nature that we all have by nature. And it's only the grace of God and the quickening of God's Spirit and the new birth that enables anyone to overcome and deal with that selfish spirit that we have. And to adopt an attitude not, what can you do for me, but an attitude of, what can I do for you? An attitude of not, here's how you can be a better wife, but an attitude of, how can I be a better husband? Here's how you can be a better husband, but an attitude of, how can I be a better wife? How can I be a better parent? How can I be a better child with respect to my parents? How can I be in all of my roles in life, at work, and as a neighbor, and as a citizen, and as a member of a church? How can I be, and as a family member, how can I be better in those roles? Give of yourself. Your life will have richness. There will be an abundance of joy when we do as that Macedonian church did, that first gave of themselves to the Lord. And they gave of themselves to one another. They put the interests of others ahead of their own interests. You go to the secular bookstore today, and it'll tell you book after book after book after book. How, if I go, it'll tell me how to get ahead of all of you. And if you go, it'll tell you how to get ahead of all of the rest of us. All of the self-help books. How-to books of the day. The principles that we need as God's children are not the principles that the world has to offer, but the principles of God's Word. And the principles of God's Word are gracious giving of ourselves to the Lord, of ourselves to our fellow man, one another, and then of our material goods to give to meet the needs of others. That's what the Macedonian church did. And this they did, he says in the fifth verse. And this they did. First gave their own selves to the Lord and to us with the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Titus had been over there with them, and they had begun indicated a willingness to give. And he says, I've encouraged Titus to participate in this thing. You know, you'll find there's an accountability practiced throughout the Word of God. There's principles of accountability. Paul never handled the money alone, and Titus never handled it alone. They always had more than one involved in handling the money. That was the best way. They were accountable, and they answered to each other about the money. If you want to see abuses out in the religious world today, you find a group that one person heads up, and them and their wife or their son or their daughters, they handle all the money and everybody else does all the giving and they decide what's done. And you'll find great abuse there. Paul protected against that. He taught an accountability. And every time you see money sent, there was more than one involved in it, in the ministry. Accountability. In a business. Many businesses have gotten in trouble over the years because they trust one person to handle the money. You collect it, you enter it on the books, you deposit it in the bank. And it's not unusual, and I've dealt with it time and time again in my work, for someone that's worked really hard and been such a loyal and diligent and faithful employee that handled the money for years and years and years, and they finally reached the point that they realized what a valuable employee they were and that they were not being recognized for how valuable they were, and they took a little money to compensate themselves. Every time I've dealt with anybody that's ever embezzled from one of the businesses I work with, they always could justify it. I was underpaid, I wasn't paid enough, I wasn't recognized. They could always justify the taking. And you know how businesses prevent that? By dividing up the responsibilities. Having more than one handling the money. And every time I have to deal with that, it's always offensive to the one that's handling the money. I'm honest. Or you think I'm dishonest? I'm not talking about somebody that's embezzled. I'm talking about just putting some procedures in place. Are you accusing me of being dishonest? You don't think I'm honest? You don't think I'm trustworthy? Why are you dividing up these responsibilities so you won't be tempted to be anything other than what you are right now? That's the way Paul did it. Do you know the principles of this Bible will work on the job and in your business? You can't improve upon them. All the business books in the world can improve upon the principles taught in this Word. You want to have good principles in your business, you go to the book of Proverbs. On the job, you read those principles and you live by them. And you deal with your customers and your employees and your co-workers and those that you work for and your suppliers. You deal with those out in commerce according to these principles and you'll treat them right. And you'll be doing right. And you'll be honoring God by it. You see, we're honoring God when we give ourselves to Him and live by His principles, as those at Macedonia did. He desired Titus to be involved in this. And the seventh verse says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence. Now, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. He's been giving them the example of the people at Macedonia that were pleased to give of themselves to the Lord, and pleased to give of themselves to one another, and pleased to give of their material means to those that were in need, and that whose liberality, whose graciousness and generosity brought great joy to them. He sets that up as an example. And he says now to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, as ye abound in everything, you Corinthians, you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence." You know, sounds like they had most of it right, didn't it? He said, you abound in faith. They exercise great faith. He says, you have faith. You abound in these things. Faith, in utterance. That was taught, being taught among them. The word that was being proclaimed above among them was the truth. It was right. They had good teachers. You know, the Word of God says, take heed how you hear. Take heed, the Scriptures say, what ye hear. You know how you're to take heed? You're to measure it by the principles of God's Word. Search the Scriptures daily, as some of those brethren did, the Berean brethren did. Search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Test it by the Word of God. And if it's not according to the Word of God, reject it. Hold fast that which is according to the Word of God. They had good utterance there. They were being taught. The ministers, those that preached and taught them, were preaching and teaching the truth. And knowledge, they had good understanding of that was being taught to them. And in all diligence, they were diligent about the things, about these scriptural and spiritual matters, Paul says. You're diligent about all these things. And he says, in your love to us, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He says, here's something else. You know the truth. You know the doctrine. You're diligent concerning these things, you brethren here at Corinth. I want you to consider the church at Macedonia. You may want to abound in this grace also. Why? He goes on in the next verses to tell them why. And he talks about the goodness of God to them. And then the question is, are they going to be good to one another? Are they going to give of themselves to others after the manner of the Macedonians? Are they going to be graceful, grateful givers? You know, we're encouraged in our society to get ready for, start saving all you can, hoarding up all that you can today. Because you don't know how much you'll need tomorrow. And the business world out there has all kind of products to sell to you that if you will buy into today, you'll be safe and secure when it comes time for you to retire. And they play on our insecurity. You know what? Our security doesn't come from how much we hoard up and keep. Our Lord, did you know He didn't even have a place to lay His head before He went the night of His crucifixion, before all the disciples went off to their homes and our Lord's went out into the mountains, out of doors, sort of camping out. Remember one time He wanted to teach with an illustration with a gold coin, and He had to ask, anybody here got a coin? He didn't even have any money in His pocket. You see, our security comes not from the things we possess. God's Word says, a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You won't find joy in holding and grabbing, but you will find a joy in sharing with others, in giving. not just to anything or everything, but give as God lays it on your hearts. And it tells us about how much to give. It's no magic formula. We find examples of that. We won't try to get into all that today. But there's an abundance of joy that God's children, you know, when they give. Some people, when it comes to giving, you know, some folks say, give till it hurts. And some people just think about giving is enough to hurt them. So that's enough for them. Just the thought of it. But in giving, you see, maybe that's why God has given you all that He has. Maybe that's why you have more than enough. Do you? You have to answer that question for yourself. Has God given you more than enough that you might share some of it with those that do not have enough? They're in need? Maybe that's why God has blessed you with that raise you got on the job. Giving you more than enough. Not so you could have more and more and more, or us, we can have more and more, but more than enough. So we could have the joy of giving graciously to someone else. Maybe that's why God has been so good to you. I want to tell a personal experience. One day this week, I don't know why, but as I was studying this, I felt so convicted as to why God had blessed me with more than enough as He has you. And I began to pray that God would help me to know what I could do that would be pleasing with Him with just some of my more than enough. And that day, four situations came to my attention that I was glad to help with. And I found joy in that. And I found a satisfaction in that. And we might say, well, others give, and maybe I don't have as much as they do. We all have more than enough. These brethren were in Macedonia, were in deep poverty, but they found something that they could give graciously. I'm not wanting to make you feel guilty about not giving. I want to point out to you, as God's children, greatly blessed of God, give yourself to the Lord, give yourself to one another, and as God moves your heart, give of your abundance to those in need. You want to draw nearer to God and you want to please God? Think about what God has done for you, and it'll make you want to do more for God's children.